Hey, Gore friends, this is Mars again.
And Story again.
And welcome back to another episode of Gore Friends. We take deep dives into various horror films. And this week, Story decided to choose a movie from our beloved streaming service, Shudder. What was the movie, Story?
The Mortuary Collection.
So stay tuned as we, tear apart this movie. Stay tuned. Guys, as we mentioned before, we are hopping into the Mortuary Collection. Took me a while to remember the name of this movie. Still have problems remembering it, even though I just wrote it down. But yeah, collection. Mortuary Collection, it came out in 2019. Before we even hop into everything, why did you choose this movie, Story?
So I wanted to do Antlers, but can't find it anywhere.
Surprisingly, because it came out last year. I'm like, did that exist? Is that a real movie? I don't even know anymore.
Apparently not. apparently I made it up.
We both made it up.
I love Shudder. And I was like, you know what? I personally never picked an anthology. Mars always coming through with XX and Creepshow. I'm like,
Trilogy of Terror.
Trilogy of Terror, like she be coming in clutch with the anthologies. So I was like, let me pick an anthology. I watched the trailer. I was like, this looks weird. It looks like Scary Stories, but grown up version.
Yes,
like Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, but adult stories. So I was like, this could be a fun watch. Like if nothing else, it'll give us something to talk about.
And
so
it does.
Here we are.
Here we are.
Full of notes.
Oh my goodness. A great reason to choose this movie. Sometimes the movie you don't expect, sometimes the backup movies be the ones. Like let's talk about that. Like sometimes the movies we don't expect be the ones that be like, didn't know what this was, but here we are.
I never heard of it, but Shudder suggested it to me. I was like, hey, this might be your shit. I was like,
and you're like, you know what?
Gosh darn it, Shudder. You might be right. I'm in.
Oh, goodness. If you guys are also not familiar with the movie, I'll give you guys some information about it. So the synopsis on IMDb says an eccentric mortician recounts several macabre and phasmagorical tales. Is that even a word? Okay, that he's encountered. Yeah, it's really
like ghost related.
Ghost and magic related. I guess, is that even a word? I want to look that up. Anyways, that he's encountered.
I think
in his
I've used that
care.
Somewhere. Right
you
down.
Should.
Phasmagorical.
Yeah, phasm.
Only learning on horror friends.
Yeah, we're learning things. Okay, so that's the synopsis of it. Cast wise, of course, with these kind of movies, there's a bunch of characters, so I'm not gonna dig too much into them. But as for the mortician, Montgomery Dark, which is a dope ass last name, Dark. I'm all for it. Clancy Brown. He was in Shawshank Redemption. Really great actor. And then, let's see. I'm going to mention Jake, who played the college student that goes through his situation, his little experience. And then we will go ahead and mention Sam, Caitlin Custer, who plays the main lady with... Please, I forgot what it's called, the main story surrounding the other stories in an anthology film. I forgot what that's called, but she plays that main character. And I just want to do a honorable mention of a character really quick, because I did not know he was in this movie. Barrick Hartley played Wendell. That was the story with the husband and the wife. He was taking care of her. I actually, it's crazy because I kind of know him because a manager of mine dated him for a bit. So, like, he's one of those actors that you see, like, once you've seen him in everything. I'm like, wait a minute. Wait. So, I hadn't seen him. I've only seen him in commercials and, like, small bits on, like, The Office and, like, other shows like that. So, this is the first time I've seen him in an actual, like, film. So, good for him. So that's my honorable mention. Do you have any other honorable mentions for the cast or no?
I do not. You covered it.
Dope. So we will go ahead and hop into our first main segment, Funny, Cool, Scary. So what made you ha-ha in this film?
All right, so I was getting carried away writing all the funnies.
Same.
Like,
so
calm
many.
Down. It's only the second story. There's like five. Like, calm down. We're running so out many. Of space. So many. So I stopped myself. So you should be able to still have some.
Dope.
So after Montgomery told the first story, he was like, so what did you think? And so I was like, it's okay. I was expecting a bit more. And he was like, oh, well, I was just warming up. So like he was so insulted. He was like, it was okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is a creepy old guy.
Yeah.
You guys, he's like the creepy mortician. Like, mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, well, I was just warming up. So here we go. Here's another. Then one of the frat boys were like, but condoms suck. So
my God.
I was like, wait till you get a load of AIDS.
Right.
Like, this is pre-AIDS epidemic, right? Mm-hmm. STDs are still like kind of a new thing, like nobody's really, you know, hip to or have all the know-how for sex ed. So the frat boys are outside showing people how to put condoms on bananas and calling it empowerment and whatnot, trying to encourage the freshman girls to like want to have sex essentially, but then they don't want to use a condom. Then he finds Sandra, who's, I guess, the antagonist for this story. And he's
Is she though? Like,
for his story, from his point of view.
Well, okay.
From his point of view.
Okay, not like he effed up. Okay.
He effed up majorly.
So is she the antagonist if he effed up? Like, she literally,
true
okay,
stories,
I'm not gonna hop into it. I'm
true
not
stories,
it.
But look, he was like, came to get laid, and she was like, me too. And I don't know why, but that made me laugh because of his reaction, mm-hmm. I guess, because
she was with
was
it.
Talking about, the patriarchy is falling, and soon women and men will be able to have sex with whoever they want, whenever they want, without anyone batting an eye, and it'll be normalized. You know, basically talking about today. That's how today's culture is. The patriarchy is falling with Gen Z, like, most of them are heteroflexible, mm-hmm. and don't care who you sleeping with, when and where and why.
Yeah.
And it was all talk for him. So a woman coming up to him be like, yeah, I'm here to get laid too. He was just taken aback, and he didn't know if she was joking or she was just going with it because he said it. Mm-hmm. And so he was like, oh no, I was just kidding. And it's like, but she never said she was kidding.
Yeah,
she was
she's
like,
lit.
Yeah, I'm here to get laid.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was great. And then the doctor came in. talking about, oh, so you have a bad case of the cooties.
Oh my God. Serious.
So corny.
Serious situation, sir.
So corny. And then all the frat boys. best part, this legit made me laugh out loud. So essentially Jake, he was pregnant, right?
Yes.
He got pregnant from our girl Sandra, and he was trying to get out of the house to meet her, to be like, yo, what's going on? How can I stop what's happening? You know, what's going on? And all the frat boys want to praise him for sleeping with 67 girls because that's their holy number or whatever, yeah. Which I was kind of disappointed it wasn't 69.
Yeah,
but I was like, whatever. It's because they had 67 founding members or whatever. And so they wanted to pick him up in this chair for him to hang his name as a flag. And they're like, bronze. And then he kept gaining weight from the baby and they couldn't pick him up.
So
they
kept
They kept stopping to kind of get it together. And this is like 10 plus people trying to pick him up. And they're like, bronze. Bronze. And so I died. I thought that was hilarious. And I don't know what spilled out of him and onto all of them, but it did not look like his water broke. That's not what that looked like. He was wearing pants, I think. So I'm like, how? Well, shorts, but still, it's like, how?
It was a lot of it.
It went everywhere.
Yeah, not a fan.
Where did that come
not
from?
Not a fan.
What was that? I don't even. That's all I got. That concludes my funnies, you guys.
Oh my goodness. For me to add in, I have quite a bit to add. A lot of ha ha he he's. I don't know what to expect, but I did not expect all the ha ha's in this film. I feel like the anthologies we've covered so far, besides Creepshow, have been serious. And I think this was definitely the most comedic compared to the other ones that we've done, including Creepshow. I think Creepshow is just funny because of, like, I don't know, just like the situations. I don't know. This one definitely seemed more on purpose and deliberate with its comedic parts. First off, the score made me laugh because it was so over the top and, like, dramatic. A lot of scenes and a lot of moments. I was like, do we need this to be like this? Like,
right.
Why is it like this? So I definitely laughed at the score a few times because it was definitely a little bit cheesy. And then the fact that the I can't remember his name. Let's see if I can grab his name really quick. Connor, the frat boy that was, I think, closest to Jake. We saw him the most. He could not give out condoms as smoothly as Jake could. He was trying to say the same speech, but it was not the same.
We're white men, and
I'm like, just stop. Just let Jake handle that aspect of it. Don't try and do it yourself. It doesn't work out like that. So that was funny. And then Jake putting on the condom, and he was just over it already. And that made me laugh.
Over it. He was like,
because that's a real person. I have met those people that are just like, yep. Really? I'm like, yes, really. That's a real person. I just laughed at the realistic part of that scene. I was like, yep, relatable.
You know, I don't need that, right? Why wouldn't you? What would keep you from needing it? I don't understand.
And then the montage of them having sex all night. I was like, we need this? Why? But okay.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
All night, all positions. I was like, good for them. All the energy.
Yeah. Well, so they started at midnight, to be fair. So it was already pretty late.
All night. So I thought that was funny, just how that was cut. Just the comedic timing of that was well done. And then, yeah, I mentioned the quote-unquote water breaking. I know that's what it was supposed to be, but that the texture and I don't think that was water either. I thought that was funny and also just maybe uncomfortable.
It was gross.
It was very gross. We'll call
it what it is, because you know, once I found out where the baby came out of,
yeah,
I was like, that wasn't water.
No, nope.
That wasn't water. I know nope. exactly what that
and
was.
And can we mention how after that happened, they just quietly put him down and just let him go? It was just like, okay, we're done.
They no got a process. They got a
yeah,
process.
They got a process what happened. So that made me laugh. And then in the last story with the babysitter situation on the TV, they had the news. First of all, how the news kind of cut off, and it was like this intense kind of stereotypical guy with a cigarette and everything saying, alert, asylum, whatever. When they cut to the cops, and the cops were like, look out for crazies and lock your doors. And the other cop was just like, yep. Like, it was just... because he was kind of... I know, I watched it twice because he was like... He was kind of like trying to show his badge. He was trying to like prep his hair and all this stuff. And then it finally got to him. He was just like, yep. And I was just like, you're so weird. And that also looked like, that kind of goes into my cool, but I think that's the same guy from the couple from the last story. Because he had the same hair and the same glasses. So I think that was him, which kind of makes it even more funny. So I thought this was funny as well. So... when they go in the babysitter story, when they go upstairs, and the guy is looking for the kid, and they kind of have this like they lock eyes and like how the camera cuts to the little, like the little kid's closet. Like fort. He was just
like a cross space closet. Like,
I was just like, this is so intense.
That whole thing was really intense.
It was
like Battle Royale.
Yeah, how that was cut, the realization that there was a kid in the house. Spoilers. Like, knowing afterwards, I kind of want to watch it again to try and pick up on stuff. Because I'm like, the decisions made in that scene didn't really make sense for me. But we'll hop into that later. But other than that, we will hop into our cools, because that's all the funnies that I have. What did you find cool?
Yeah, man, I actually had some cool. I actually thought the score and the soundtrack were cool. I enjoyed them, especially like for the babysitter story. I really enjoyed the music for that story in particular. But just from the start of the movie, I was like, oh, that score isn't bad. That's not bad at all. Would I sit and listen to it for hours on end? No. But I thought it fit with the movie.
It definitely made me know what kind of movie it was going to be. Like, as I was like, okay, it's this kind of film. Mm-hmm.
Seriously, but it had that creep factor to it. That's like, okay, this is going to be eerie, but it's also light and kind of upbeat. So it doesn't take itself too seriously. Mm-hmm. So we're in for some comedy, but also a little, you know,
spooky,
a little spook. Also, before I knew how this was going to end, and even a little bit after, I was like, Sam as a babysitter is a thug.
Yep.
Like, yep. I was like, yo, she is thugging. When she grabbed that knife, first, she stuck his hand in the meat grinder, and then... she grabbed the little, I don't know what the tool is called.
Meat tenderizer.
Meat tenderizer. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, she bowed it.
She's about it.
Like, yo. And then when she jumped on him and was choking him, I was like, who is this? Like, they got a military grade nanny in here. And then I was like, you know, I thought it was really cool that the movie on the TV correlated with the story.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, I really like that too.
Right. So they're going back and forth, showing the babysitter on the TV trying to fight off the killer that's trying to get her and the kid. And then they're showing Sam and the babysitter on the TV, this scene in particular, thought the killer was dead, like they always do in the movies, right? And then she's hugging the kid like, oh, it's over now, it's okay. And you see the killer getting up. Now in the story, you see who we think is the killer waking up. We're like, he's got to wake up because the killer on the TV is alive, so he's mm-hmm. got to be alive, right? And then you see Sam standing over him with the TV and she drops it on his face. Gnarly, right? Gnarly. I loved the effect of, I know that's in visuals, but seeing his face on the TV, like in the, mm-hmm. it was through fire. The TV screen.
Yeah, yep. I remember that. Yep.
Mind blown. Fire. But the way the movie ended, the killer was still alive. We don't know what happened to the babysitter and the kid because she dropped the TV on him. Like, what happened next, right? So we're thinking, oh, the babysitter came out on top because she killed the killer. Then the parents come in, right? And I'm like, why isn't she yelling for help?
Yep.
And the parents come mm-hmm. in from the back and they're like, oh my God, this is Sam the babysitter. And it's like, the killer is still alive. Mm-hmm. So that kind of tells you how that movie ended, right? Because mm-hmm. the killer came back to life and he probably killed the babysitter and the kid, which is how this story unfortunately ended. So I thought that whole sequence is really cool. And I enjoy watching it. And that's all I got. That's all I got.
Really great things that you noticed. Great, great, great. I have a few things to add to that. First thing, funny that I brought up Trilogy of Terror earlier, but Sandra from our frat boy story reminded me of the teacher from Trilogy of Terror, just because of her glasses and how she was kind of like standoffish a little bit. And then she ends up being the antagonist, I guess, depending on whose side you're talking. You know what I mean? Like, it was still like that kind of situation of, yeah, she's a bad guy, but these dudes are being douchebags, so they kind of deserve it. So I really like that. That was a thing that I noticed. And then I want to mention, like I said before, like the characters in Wendell's story were kind of in the babysitter story, because the doctor from the frat boy story, the doctor from Wendell's story was also in the last story because,
yeah.
So I thought that was a cool thing they put in there. And then Wendell's story, I love stories where it starts off as like a small-ish problem, and then it kind of snowballs into this huge, big problem. Like, things keep getting worse and worse and worse. I love stories like that, and the characters just trying to get themselves out of the situation they put themselves in. So I really like, I think Wendell's story might be my favorite, and not just because I somewhat know that person from that skit, but I like that one and the babysitter one. The babysitter one more so because of the storytelling and some of the shots, and then I like Wendell's one because of the escalation and the character. Oh, funny, the old lady in Wendell's episode in the Wendell story.
Oh my God, yes. No, don't call the police. I'm calling them anyhow, either way.
Like, I loved it so much. And when he knew it was her, he was just like rolling his eyes like, fuck. Like, why is it her? Why? I thought she was hilarious as well. As for cool, also the babysitter trope, we see it time and time again, you know, Halloween and just having like the babysitter, dealing with this enemy. And I like how they played with that and, you know, turned it to something else. Love that, love that, love that. I think that's pretty much it. And also dealing with this is touching on another anthology. This kind of reminded me in terms of like Tales from the Hood, where you have like, you're dealing with another mortuary in Tales from the Hood, and the mortuary guy is like not who you think he is. He's like mm-hmm. something supernatural. I think they kind of took inspiration from that. If not, that's what it totally reminded me of as well. So I think that is cool. Yeah. And I think that's all I have for cool. Scary, did anything spook you out?
Yeah, I thought from the jump, Sandra was pretty creepy. Especially the whole her going through her purse and just the shots. They kept showing shots of her hands and her like going under her garments, and mm-hmm. for whatever reason it felt like she was gonna pull out a knife or something. And then she mentioned you know, there's a serial killer on the loose and there's boys that are missing. And she was like, aren't you scared? Aren't you worried about your well-being? You don't know me. You don't know who I am. Like, she was saying, I love this story because it really showcases a double standard about men's mm-hmm. sexuality and women's sexuality, but also that men just have way less to worry about in yeah. the world when it comes to safety. Mm-hmm. If as a female and you're in college, especially you're at a frat party or you're in an unfamiliar territory and you hear that there's a killer on the loose and women are going missing, like, you're going to be walking around with protection. You're mm-hmm. going to be cautious. You're not going to be hooking up in a room with any old dude. Like,
yeah,
all these things you have to think about. And she was offering him protection in more way than one that he turned down. Like, yep. imagine if you're a woman and you're walking alone at night and someone offers you mace or a pocket knife to get home safely on your own. And you're like, no, I don't need protection. I'm gonna walk these streets mm. by myself with the serial killer out mm. there wearing nothing but a skirt and some heels. And I would just hope for the best.
Yeah.
And like, no one's gonna do that. No one's gonna do that. And he turned down protection for his life and for his sexual health.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really neat to see. But also, it's just creepy because she's creepy. Yeah. Then the doctor freaking out. You don't want to be in a doctor's office.
Yeah.
He went in thinking he had an STD, right? Because he got that rash. And then the doctor's like, oh shit, oh damn. And by the way, was that the same doctor again? Was this the same doctor?
I think that's a different doctor.
Okay.
I think that's a different doctor.
Because they all look alike a little bit.
A little bit. I wouldn't be surprised it would be the same one because they reused
him
before.
Mustache and yeah, the dark hair.
I wouldn't be surprised. I don't want to say no definitely, but could totally be him.
Because it's a small town. All these stories take place in a small town. So that's why I'm like, they're probably all the same doctor. And you don't want me in a doctor's office and they're freaking out and they're like, I'll be back. I gotta go check on something. Mm. You just hang tight. And it's like, no hanging tight. What's going on? And fact that I meant to add this to my buddies, I thought you would mention it, but the fact that he just accepted that he was pregnant and immediately went to get a plan B.
Plan C. It was plan C.
Plan C. Because he was far along. He was yeah. like, oh, hell nah. So then giving birth through your penis?
Not a fan.
And then I didn't think they would show it.
Yep.
I didn't think.
The quick shot.
And they went
a quick shot,
but it was a good shot. It's in my mind.
Same.
I remember it. I could tell you what it looked like. Before it exploded.
Oh my god.
I was like, wow.
And he was gone. He was gone after
he
that.
He was gone. And then monster babies?
A lot of monster babies.
A lot of them.
That's not even her fault. Like, the fact that she's not doing this, like, she's offering protection. I'll put that in my F up. It's a big F up. But, like, why do we have so many monster babies?
I don't know. I feel like some of them were her fault based on her mom's reaction. She was like, Sandra, Patricia.
Honestly, like, I wouldn't be surprised because of how some guys are and how stealthing is a thing.
But
and
she had to find out how this was a thing.
Oh, like, yeah.
There had to have been the first couple of instances, like,
mm-hmm.
did I do that?
Yeah.
Like, you mm-hmm. know, and so.
Or, but the mom had that book, and I'm like, I'm assuming this is a thing from the women in the family. Like, this has to be a hereditary thing. Like, I feel like this is not, I don't know.
I don't know, because she has a dad, you know? So I feel like, at first, I thought, is this a family that dabbles in witchcraft? And this is just something that Sandra does to protect herself. Maybe she has some kind of spell that kind of flips everything onto the man to protect herself when she's out having fun.
I like to know backstory about
that. All of these stories can be its own story, which is its own movie, which is really cool. Before knowing who Sam really was, she walked into the living room and there was a stranger sitting on the couch. And that reminded me of those Reddit TV reading to me. which there was one, I think, where someone let a stranger in and they sat on the couch. And I was like, yo.
Not a fan.
Not liking this. Yeah, I didn't like that one bit. But that was my last scary.
I don't really have any more to add to that. I think you kind of just took, you got that. Nothing to add. Let's hop into the acting and the visuals.
Okay, so I actually have more notes than usual for visuals. The paper boy was riding his bike in the beginning, and you're getting all these wide shots of the area. The bridge in particular, I really liked that shot. It looked dangerous. It looked like nobody should be on that bridge ever, ever, ever. And it was like he's going into this dark place. Like, you just get the idea that wherever this take place, not so great things happen here, right? And you also get that from the newspaper headlines. There are all these headlines that were like, oh, a creature spotted here, tooth fairy killer, this, which was a great foreshadow for later, right? They're feeding us all these stories before we actually got to them, which is really cool. The first story, there are shots of our, I don't even know her name, her character's name, but the main character in the mirror. She was trying to walk away from the mirror and hold it closed. And you see her looking back at the mirror. And I just like the reflection of her in front of the door. And then you look back at the door and you see the mirror behind her. I just like the way the shot was set up. It was really pretty to look at. But then it was also like, what's happening right now? There's all this space all of a sudden in a bathroom, you know? So I thought that was really cool. Also, I kind of dug the sex montage. Like, the music, the fast pace of it. Nobody feel like sitting through a sex scene in a horror thing. They just keep throwing them in there. But this, they sped it up. And they're like, oh, they're going to do all these things that you're not really going to comprehend because it's going to be shown really, really fast. And you're seeing the clock so you know, like, how much time has gone by, and I thought that was really cool, the way that shot was set up. In Wendell's story, his nightmare, right? He was getting married, they did the till death do we part, and the wedding went dark, and Carol's breathing changed, and it just went really creepy really fast. But I like the lighting that they have for that scene, and how they manipulated it to where it just kind of went dark so gradually throughout the scene. Like, throughout that whole scene, it just was getting darker and darker and darker until you realized it was a nightmare. And I thought that was really cool. The whole elevator scene with Wendell trying to get the truck downstairs, at first I was like, okay, the elevator window part is cool because he's looking through the window and he's seeing all these flashbacks, mm-hmm. like his, like their life was passing them by, right? As the elevator is moving. And then there is blood rising from the floor because the elevator was going faster and faster. I'm like, how many floors are in this building, right? That's mm-hmm. kind of your first hint at this isn't really happening. But the blood is rising. And then I just underlined the whole thing, elevator. The whole scene was like a masterpiece because you get the blood rising, then Wendell is rising, then the trunk is opening, then Carol is rising. And her face is totally different, right? Yeah. I'm like, when did her face get like that? It's like she's been dead for ages. But for him, that's how he feels. It's like she's been dead for a long time. Like, he hasn't had his wife in so long. And she's rising. And it's like, it's almost like they're getting married all over again. And they're together and they're holding each other. And she's dead and he's like crying, which honestly was pretty funny to me, not gonna lie. He was like sobbing as she yeah. was rising and kissing him, right? And he was like, I don't want to be here. And then there was blood droplets all around them, and it was like she was alive again, right? And that whole scene was just a masterpiece. If you guys don't like anthologies or you have no intention of watching this movie, watch it just for that shot.
Yeah,
that was great. And Carol's makeup right there,
mm-hmm.
nice. And for my last notable scene was the Babysitter Fight Club Showdown Battle Royale where where they were fighting in the kids' room and there were feathers flying everywhere. That Chef's was kiss. Intense.
Chef's kiss.
Chef's kiss. So it was. Good. It was that so was good. That was a French kiss.
Oh, yes. Chef
was wild. Yeah. He was like all the seasons, all the spices, mm-hmm. the thunder, the lightning. Mm-hmm. There's total darkness. The only light they have is a flash from the lightning, right?
Loved it.
And then you get feathers and they're like everywhere. That was amazing. So that cool. was awesome. I loved that. That's all I got. That's yeah, all I got.
That was amazing. I think the only thing I want to add to this, visual wise, I love the practical effects in this mm-hmm. movie. Like, we had some, like, digital stuff, like, with the burned. That was kind of creepy, too. The little burnt little kids biting Sam at the end. Did not like that very much.
I thought of Trilogy of Terror. I thought of the little doll, honestly.
Yes. Yes.
I didn't say much about the acting, because I just thought it was all right.
Yeah, same.
Sam, in particular, I thought her acting was just kind of yeah. okay.
Mm-hmm.
But
like, especially how they wrote
I
her.
Think it was
like,
the writing. The yeah. writing. Montgomery Dark did his thing. He was dark and creepy and whatnot. Yeah. But I just thought the acting was cool. It wasn't yeah. terrible, but it wasn't.
It was okay. It wasn't notable. Like.
Wendell hated. Did great.
Yeah, he's great.
He
great.
Did great.
Yeah, I yeah. think he's.
He had the most emotional parts. Mm-hmm. And Jake wasn't bad because he. His makeup was crazy too, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Yeah, I do think that those two, Jake and Wendell, I think they did the best with what they had. I'm thinking through all the segments.
Yeah, yeah, they had the most demanding acting roles, I think. Yeah, yeah.
For sure. Like, Wendell had to be angry, he had to be sad. Like, he had to do all crazy. These different... He had to be crazy, yeah.
Yeah.
Different emotions, for sure. But yeah, I just wanted to just point out the practical effects from the monster in the bathroom to, like you said, with the babysitter getting his head smashed with the TV, to the meat grinder, and that kind of slush in the bone and the blood and everything. I liked yeah. how that looked. A lot of great practical effects in this movie that I was not expecting whatsoever. So we can hop into one of our favorite segments, F-ups. I know you got a lot of them, a whole bunch Ooh. Of them.
F-ups.
Whole bunch
okay.
of them.
Okay, F-ups. Number one, Paperboy. Gotta stop being nosy. Gotta stop being nosy. And then Les is Cameron. The stop being nosy, kids. Stop being nosy. Had no reason to get off that bike. Sam, I thought, was too eager. She was too eager going in there talking about, oh, I saw, you know, that you guys are hiring. You need help. And just like inserting herself, tell me a story, just so demanding. Yeah,
it was very demanding, which kind of like put a, like a red flag up. I was like, are you here for, like, it was just really odd. I was like,
it was almost like I thought she was fishing for information or something, like the way she was just like, tell me another one, tell me another one, I want to hear a story. It's like, can you leave? Oh, the girl in the bathroom. Leave the cabinet alone.
Stop.
Leave the cabinet alone. Her being a thief, she was probably like, oh, they must have something valuable in there because they keep it locked. But maybe. But still, not. Leave it.
Maybe not. It's a bathroom cabinet. I don't know. I just thought just it was like,
leave it alone.
I'll bring that up later in my efforts too.
And then I said, now look.
Look at you.
React throughout the scene. Like, leave the cabinet alone. Now look at you.
Looking dumb.
Dead. Looking dead and dumb. Dead and dumb. And then Wendell didn't change his shirt or nothing.
He didn't. I noticed that too. I was like, Wendell.
I was like, Wendell. 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 Wendell.
With the name like Wendell.
And then actually decided to take the elevator that day. He just... first of all, I'm like, commit to it if you're going to do it, first of all. And then left the a blunt object in front of her for her to fall on, right? And then I'm like, just call the police. Like, it would be worse if you don't. Like, you could easily say it was an accident. You're a white man back in the day. Your wife was sick, already dying, right? Just say she fell over. That's all you gotta say. Now look at you.
Now look at you.
But didn't change that bloody shirt. Come on, Wendell. And then the babysitter, I was like, you dropped the knife. Why even pick it up if you're just gonna drop it, right? And then didn't grab another one until much later. Much later. There are knives all along the wall. I'm like, so you dropped that one. Cool, got it. And then I feel like from a writing standpoint, that story had holes in it.
I agree.
Guy was just too sus.
Very sus. Like, you do not seem like you are supposed to be here. Like...
He walked in. I'm guessing he had a concussion or something, like, because he was injured. He just knew to go to that house, but he broke in.
Yeah, right? I don't understand. He, like,
broke the window.
And he was just sitting and watching TV.
And then he was like, I need help. Can you help me? And then he was like, this isn't my house. It was just like.
Very odd. And then for him to say, where is the boy? And I'm like, you.
What's his name?
Like, why would you not just say the boy's name? Like, what difference does it make writing wise? Yeah. Like, if he says his name or not, it just, like you said, it just had whole Swiss cheese.
Yeah. But then, like you said earlier, I'm going to go back and watch it again, knowing what I know now, to see if anything can be interpreted differently. Because when the phone was ringing and she was walking away, he was like, wait, what are you doing? You know, like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing here? Like, who are you? Why are you here? Kind of thing.
And she goes out and takes the trash out. And I'm like, why would you take out trash in a place you don't live? And you're just killing a kid. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, why would you do that? Because that's the shot where we see that the glass was broken from the windows when she goes to take out the trash. And I'm like, purpose? I don't know.
She was just living it up before she commit a felony. I don't know.
She is crazy, but I'm like, you can only use that so far, even with your writing. I was like, they're just crazy. They're just doing whatever. It's like, I don't know.
And then it makes sense for her character. like she was just gonna live there for the weekend. I don't know. And when the mom called, I could have sworn she said, "Mom, then why aren't you answering the phone?" or something like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I heard,
like,
yeah, she did say, Oh, yeah. I thought I heard a
woman. Like, she was like, "Damn it, woman, why aren't you answering the phone?" And, you know, I don't know. I feel like
you have to watch it back, watch it again.
Yeah, watch it again, because I know there are some plot holes.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I see what they were trying to do, but writing wise, it could have been done in a better way. But and I was then, trying to hold that until the end.
When he was like, "Where's the boy?" and Sam looked directly at the closet, and it's like,
"You already ate him. Like, why? Or you already killed him. So why look over there?"
Was that the trash? No, she was throwing out something,
but she looked at his little fort, his little, the kid's fort or whatever, but I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point too. I don't know why she looked at that if she already killed him. I didn't see the point in that already.
Yeah, I don't know. Unless she, yeah, I don't know. I have no idea.
And the fact that she goes do all of this to, anyways, I'll skip that until the relationship status. I'll be quiet.
Yeah.
But you can keep going.
No, that's all I have for now, really. Oh, other than like her going to collect a tooth, it's like, just leave it alone. Just leave it alone. Be glad you got away with it. That's why all the dead babies are going to come and get you.
Yep, all of them.
You're stupid. But that's all I got.
Dope. I have stuff to add. Thought it was interesting, writing-wise. She asked how old... Because she noticed, like, him in the picture. And she was like, "Oh, how old are you?" And he said something along the lines of, "Oh, yeah, it's weird. Like, it's odd being older and having a funeral for such a young person." And he didn't answer her question. And then she just kind of like continued saying something else. I was like, why even bring it up? Like, you didn't even try and pry about that. It was just kind of like a one line. They just threw it away. I wish they would have pried more on that. I thought that was kind of an F up. And then, like I said, with what's this boy's name? Jacob. Doing his stealthing. Guys, do not stealth. And women, either way, do not stealth. I have experienced this personally. It is not okay in any circumstances. It makes me very angry.
Yeah. Total violation of someone's body. You're violating their body by taking away that choice for them to protect.
There's no excuse. There's no excuse for that behavior. So I was just like, you know, whatever happens, happens. Oh, well. So, yeah, that was a total F up. And then, let's see. Yeah, that's all of my F ups. Oh, excuse me. So, what makes this a horror movie? What are the themes? Excuse me. Hiccups.
There's plenty of gore and creep factor for it to be a horror movie. It's a good adult anthology because it has a lot of adult themes. And for the themes, karma, and they, you know, they kept repeating throughout the movie, you can't escape your fate when it comes to karma. Like, if you wrong someone, you do something you're not supposed to do, you will eventually face some kind of fate for that. Like, something's gonna happen to you because of that. It may take a month, it may take a year, it may take 5 years, but it's gonna happen. It's gonna come back around. Sometimes it might happen within the first 5 seconds if your name is Wendell,
right?
or old bathroom lady. But that was her own fault. Curiosity killed the cat. Like, some of these things could have been avoided if they just minded their business. Like, honestly. That's all I got.
Yeah, I totally agree. They even mention it in the movie about, like, karma and, like, you know, if you're a bad person. And Sam kind of mentioned that too. She's like, yeah, all your stories are just someone that, you know,
they're predictable. Did something bad.
Yeah. But I feel like it's kind of like that.
They pay for it.
I feel it's like that in Creepshow 2. Creepshow 2 has that same kind of theme of like karma and like, you know, you're a bad person and something, you know, you do something effed up and then something comes back to you. Yeah. It's a well done theme. And yeah, same thing with you. What makes it a horror movie? You know, you have gore, you know, penises exploding, you know, stuff like that.
That was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, heads getting smashed by TVs. It's wild.
Yeah,
it's wild, man. Little burnt babies biting.
Burnt babies.
Burnt. A whole bunch of burnt babies.
With teeth.
Yeah, that she took out and collected.
And they took their teeth back.
They did.
And popped it back in. Good for and them. Used them to bite her.
Good for them. Yes.
Yeah.
But that's all I have for themes and whatnot. So let's go into relationship status. You know, what's your relationship status? Any things that you want to point out that you're like, could have been better?
Writing could have been better with those plot holes. And the base story could have been better, I think. Something about the way it was written, and also it just lacked backstory. Sam doesn't have a last name. Montgomery Dark doesn't have a backstory. We don't know what he did to get into the house, how long he's been at the house. He never told her how old he was, even at the end, revealing that her fate was, you know. I feel like it might be a decent watch during Halloween. Like, definitely if you're doing anthology movies in October, this could be a fun watch, just because it's so ridiculous. It's so out there, but they have some really good parts I can appreciate filmmaking wise. So I won't say it's a hit it and quit it, but maybe more of a seasonal day. It definitely leaves you wanting. It leaves you wanting more from the plot and just more of everything, more backstory, more everything. So like, freaking Montgomery exploded at the end. He like shriveled up and died. He was just dust.
Yeah.
And then like, I don't know. I just wish we didn't know more about him and more about the house.
Yeah, I agree. Not enough backstory. Like, comparing it to Tales in the Hood, like, with that movie, I feel like the base story, there's not a lot of it. Like, you kind of hop into stories, like, back to back to back. There's not a lot of in-between with that. I feel like with this one, they kind of focused. They had a lot more interaction with the characters in the base story. So, and that's why I didn't mind it in Tales in the Hood. Because you're not interacting with the characters much. You get the basic of what's going on in that. You're like, okay, going to the next story, whatever. And, yeah, I wish they would have had more details with that. Because I also wanted to know how he got there and how long he's been there in these details. And then I also had issues with the first story. Like, I feel like them showing the wallets was like their only basis for something bad happening to her. Like, I wish it was kind of, I don't know, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, it was just kind of thrown in there. It's like, oh, this is why this is happening to her, because she stole things. It's like, and then, like we mentioned before, her opening the mirror, it's like, is it really that important? Does she really need to open this mirror like that? Like, I just didn't feel like it was really necessary, like really, really necessary for her to get into that mirror like that. I don't know.
She had to be a klepto.
If it was like in a bedroom, like if it was like a bedroom where she was like snooping in someone's like dressers or something like that, I would get it. But it's a bathroom. I'm like, okay, it's just gonna be medication and, you know, ibuprofen. Like, what do you expect to be in there?
Maybe a wedding ring. I don't know.
That's like far fetched. And then, like we mentioned with the babysitter things, there's holes all in that. I'm just like we mentioned how that guy was just behaving. It was just very off. And I'm like, okay, how did he get hurt? Like, did she hit him and then he came back and now he's confused? Like, I wish that was more fleshed out because it does not seem realistic with his behavior and how he was saying, oh, where is the boy? Like,
right.
Just how that just all played out just did not make sense to me. But I do like a lot of the scenes, although it is really weird. I do think it's a good starter horror movie for people. I think it doesn't have a lot of jump scares. It's weird. There's some gore in there, but nothing too unbearable, I think. So I would definitely recommend to someone that's not super into horror movies and they like anthology films. So
it's a good gateway.
It's a great gateway horror, I think. Like, if I was a kid, if I was younger, I feel like I would have liked this as well. Even though it has adult themes. But yeah, I think it's a great gateway horror movie. With that being said, I'll probably... I honestly would probably watch the different segments alone. Like, Wendell's one I would watch alone. I would watch the babysitter one alone. And I would just recommend it to people. I'll be like, yeah, they're cool. They weren't for me, but if you want to go on a date with them, they might be for you. I would kind of do that for people. That's how I feel.
I can see that. I can see that. I can dig it.
So yeah, that was the Mortuary Collection. Like we mentioned before, it is on Shudder. We are not sponsored by Shudder yet. Shudder, please call us. But we're going to hop into our Sounds Like a Horror Movie segment.
Our Phasmagorical.
Yeah, Phasmagorical, that word. How is that a real word? Anyways, stay tuned, you guys, and we'll see you in a bit.
This is the Killer Babes Podcast.
I'm Kirby.
And I'm Katie. We are the Killer Babes. Tell them what we do, Kirby.
We go to places in New England because we are a New England podcast, and we find out what's paranormal, what's spooky,
what's not paranormal.
And we also do true crime.
Yes. Anything that we think is interesting in the New England area. And like Kirby said, we go when we can. We report back what we find. It's a great time, if I do say so myself.
We usually stop for some brews.
Oh,
along
yeah.
with the booze.
Very usually. Check us out. We have season one, and we are in two episodes of season two. So we have a lot of great stuff for you guys to go listen to.
Yes, and check us out on Instagram and Facebook, Killer Babes Podcast, Twitter, Killer Babes Pod, or email us at killerbabespodcast@gmail.com.
We are back, and before we get into our Sounds Like a Horror Movie for this week, I will be going over our businessy stuff as usual. So we have a social media on various platforms. We have Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter @GoreFriends. We have an email, which is GoreFriendsPodcast@gmail.com. So you can email us and send us your own Sounds Like a Horror Movies and movie recommendations there. We have a Google Voice number, so you can call. It'll send you straight to voicemail. You can say some kind words, your own Sounds Like a Horror Movie, and your own movie recommendations that we can watch and review on the show. You can also rate us on iTunes. So we really appreciate this. If you guys want to go on iTunes and leave a 5-star review or even a written review and tell us how awesome we are, we'd really appreciate it. It makes it easy for people to find us. So go ahead on iTunes. It's really quick to do and leave us that 5-star review. If you're interested, we have a Patreon, so you can donate $1, $5, or $10 a month for various perks. Our $5 tier is our most popular. I think that's because we have Gorefriends TV, in which we cover horror-themed TV shows. Currently, we're watching Nosferatu, and it is such a glorious journey. We're halfway through that right now. So we have Gorefriends TV. You get a Gore Gang sticker. You get access to our movie nights, which are bi-weekly. So go ahead if you want to be part of that fun and go on Patreon. And last thing is, if you are a musical artist and you want your music played in our intermission segment, go ahead and hit us up on any of the platforms that I mentioned before, and if we vibe with it, we'll play it on the show for you. But that is all the businessy stuff that I wanted to discuss, and we're gonna go ahead and hop into our freaking
Sounds Like a Horror Movie.
Yeah, Yep, yep, yep. So this was in the Let's Not Meet subreddit. These are always great experiences.
It's one of these. They're gonna do something stupid. They're gonna do something, get themselves into some trouble.
You know, always, always. So this is posted 24 days ago.
Recently? It's COVID outside.
This was posted recently. But it happened, well, yeah, this was a year ago, so it was COVID. Anyways,
oh my God.
So this was posted by Elder Squirrel. The title of this story is Unknown Man Follows Me in the Dark.
I'm muted.
So, to start off with the story, I live in Finland in a fairly small city, and this happened to me a year ago when I was 14. So it was Friday evening, and on every Friday, our mom lets us go to the store and buy candy. So me and my 12-year-old sister left our house to go to the store, and it was already dark outside. We made our way to the closest store, which was over a mile away. While walking at some point, there's a man walking behind us the same way, but I didn't think much about it at the time. He could just be going to the same store. So I continue chatting with my sister while the man is behind us, following at the safe distance. We get to the store with no complications, and the man followed us into the store. We take our time selecting our candy and get to the register to pay. While I was packing the candy to my backpack, I saw this man buying only a chocolate bar. Pretty far away to go for a chocolate bar, I thought, and at this point my suspicions start to rise for this guy. I get out of the store with my sister and we start making our way back. We walked for a while and I quickly glanced at my back and the man was still there following us. I took a look at my sister, who seemed totally unaware at the man's presence. We continued our walk, and up ahead of us was an unlit dirt road that continued for a good part of the trip. So I took a look at my back again, and there the man was still, he was about 60 feet away. At this point, I was almost certain he was following us because on our way to the store, he did not walk this part of the way behind us. The dirt road goes through a forest, and it had a curve at the start of it. Once we get to the curve, I look back and notice the man can't see us, so I pull my sister into the woods, and we duck down in the woods. My sister is saying something. I just whisper, "Stay quiet," to her as I wait for the man to come. I can see the man's shadow coming down the road, and he started looking for us from the road. He walked back and forth on the road. Now I was certain he was following us that whole time. My heart was racing, and I tried to be as quiet as possible. The man didn't find us, but continued running forward. We stayed in the forest for a while before getting the courage to come out. We walked the rest of the way home with no problems got to our house. We eat our candy and have a good evening, but that really did bother me for a while, especially my sister. Thinking about this still gives me chills, and the thought of getting caught in that situation creeps me out, and I try not to think about it. I wouldn't want to meet this man again.
Is that it?
That's it. That's it. I mean, she, I
walking,
mean,
might go at night, but then also can run into the forest.
But I do think Finland's supposed to be fairly safe too, compared to America, so I'm not super surprised. Like, Finland's supposed to be safe.
I'm just worried.
And the fact that they did this every Friday evening, so most likely this man.
It might happen again.
And the fact that she's 15 now. This child went through this experience. Because most of the time, I feel like our stories are like, yeah, this happened like 10 years ago when I was like 12. Like, this happened recently to this child and she survived. Like, I mean, good for her. Like, she was aware of her surroundings.
Did she tell her mom?
That's what people in the comments were saying. They're like, did you tell an adult that this happened? Because I don't know.
I'm concerned.
I don't see them commenting on anyone's thing, but people are like,
He came back.
But yeah, we say this on the show all the time. Do not take the same routines, you know, on the same day. Don't have a regular routine going home. Because people can stalk you and be aware of this and try to yeet you like this. Super, super scary situation. I do like that she was smart. She, like, hid in the woods with her sister and was like, shh, hush, be quiet. you don't know what's going on, but be quiet.
Man.
I got anxious reading this. I was like, oh, the children. Stories just shook.
The babies.
Stories shook. She was just shaking her head.
The babies.
The babies. The babies went through this, trying to get some candy. Yeah. I mean, man. I mean, you would think this happened so long ago, because, like, I don't know. I would have called my mom. Like, why don't you have cell phones to call an adult? Like, no. No. Don't have a routine, you guys. Do not have a routine when running errands.
Yeah.
You never know.
Always use different routes if you're mm-hmm. walking or jogging. Because if someone sees you walk by them at the same time every day, one day
something like this happens. Creepy guy in the woods. So yeah, I love that she was aware about him buying only a chocolate bar. Like, she just picked up on a lot of things that helped her just be like, yo, sus. So yeah, that's the Sounds Like a Horror Movie for this week. Like we mentioned before, if you guys have any other experiences that you experienced, go ahead and hit us up, write us out to us, or you can send a voicemail and we'll play it on the show. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Story, you have anything else before I close out for this week?
Be safe, you guys.
Yes.
And tell your parents when something happens.
Please tell an adult. Tell somebody that something happened to you. So we'll be back in 2 weeks, you guys. Hopefully we can get back to our weekly schedule again. We're just kind of getting into our flow of things, so we can be as consistent as possible. But, you know, hopefully we can get back to our weekly schedule. But we will see you guys in 2 weeks. We love you guys so much, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.